So when I was in school, it was not unusual to hear a teacher say, ain't a word because ain't in the dictionary. Well, ain't is now in the dictionary, along with thousands of other words that have gotten added over the years. Peter Sokolowski says between 500 and 1,000 words get added to the dictionary every year, including 370 last month. Sokolowski is editor-at-large at Merriam-Webster, and he joins me. And Peter, let's start with the category of words you're watching. What exactly does that mean?
Well, words that we're watching, in one sense, is the first step for a word to enter the dictionary. It means it's a word that we have noticed that is being used and used frequently and also used by many different people to mean the same thing. And we always kind of wait. We're not inventors of language. We are recorders of language. And that's the way that all words enter the dictionary. In fact, we notice them, we take note of them, we make citations, which is a fancy way of just saying quotations of those words in context so that we know who wrote or spoke the word and when and where. And in that way, we have a kind of formal process and procedure for the evidence that we need, and then we draft a definition. And ultimately, that word is added to the dictionary.
So where do you look for those citations? I mean, I would imagine that, you know, as you say, you need to see it sort of in wide use in the community. So how do you go about trying to determine if that's happening?
Well, in the old days, it was, of course, in print. And so there was actually a program for Merriam-Webster editors to read every day, read something that was, you were assigned a magazine or a journal or a book. And in those ways, we could kind of cover a broad vocabulary and we would literally underline and mark the terms that were new or up and coming. And all of those would be keyed into our citation database and initially printed on cards that were put into a file. That file now has about 16 million index cards in it.
Wow.
And I think it's the largest body of collected evidence of any language in the world. Now, it has to be said today that's all digitized. That process is all digitized. And there are other ways to do this, too. For example, we can notice online which words are being looked up in our dictionary that give a negative result. In other words, for which there is no entry. And in that way, the public can tell us, hey, we're interested in a given word, and that word is not yet in the dictionary. So that's one that's kind of, they're knocking on our door in that sense. There are other ways with digital corpora. A corpus is a body of text that is searchable online, and corpora is the plural. We can go to some corpora that will actually themselves highlight the newest terms that are fastest to increase in frequency. And in other words, that allows a kind of robotic way to measure the incoming terms of the English language. So there's all kinds of ways and tools that are available to us now.
All right. So let's talk about a couple of the words that you are currently watching. And one of them I am familiar with as the parent of a preteen boy. The word sus is one that is used not infrequently in my house. But for folks who maybe don't know what this word is, can you sort of break down what this word is about?
Sure. Well, this has been added in this latest batch of new editions. This was a term that we've been watching for a while, and now it's part of the dictionary. And it's just a slang word. It's a shortened form of the word suspect or suspicious. It is kind of fun, and it is certainly one that is maybe heard more than it's read.
So let me ask you about the word yeet, because this was one that I had not heard before looking it up on your site. And this is a word that's basically like to throw something away kind of violently, it sounds like.
Yes, or to throw yourself kind of if you're kind of throwing your body forward or at something. It's also used not as a verb, but as an interjection, a kind of an expression of surprise or approval, like the word wow, for example. Yeet is an interesting one because it was used very frequently, but it wasn't very clear what exactly it meant to a lot of people. And so it took a while for this one. Young people would use it. And I think especially in that interjectional use, it was kind of hard to know, is this approving? Is it disapproving? Does it indicate surprise? You know, what really does it mean? So it took a little while for this to settle in. But this is a word that, yes, young people have brought into the language. You know, it's important to mention, too, that there is a new way that informal language comes into the dictionary. And as I just said, it used to be that slang and informal language was really more spoken out loud than it was written. And certainly it wasn't something you'd find in, say, the New York Times. Whereas now, because of social media and texting, so much communication is happening online that we read rather than that we hear, that we actually get expressions like abbreviations, like LOL, for example, which has been added to the dictionary, or like the slang for own, which is spelled P-W-N, own or pwn, which means to dominate or defeat someone online. And so it comes from gaming language. But they were always keying it in and texting it, and it wasn't something that was spoken. In other words, we're now able to observe language in an informal way as a written form before it's ever spoken or heard. And that's kind of exciting. It shows a real change in the way English is developing.
Do you and your colleagues feel pressure to be up on all of these words, all these slang words that maybe you know, maybe you don't?
That's a good question. I personally don't. And you know, the nature of slang is that it changes quickly, and it tends to be the game of the young. So I don't feel badly about not understanding, you know, teenagers today. And if that's a terminology that enters the public discourse, in other words, if it's something that does become transcribed and does start to appear, for example, on broadcast media and in print media in well-edited, carefully edited places like the Boston Globe or Harper's Magazine, that's when we notice it. If it's when those things kind of transfer into a general readership, that it's not just the slang for, I don't know, skateboarders, you know, or fans of a certain kind of music. Once it becomes more generalized, that's when it's ready to go into the dictionary.
So, for example, when sus moves from beyond just players of the game Among Us, and more people are using it maybe in more and more ways, that catches your attention and makes you think, okay, maybe it's ready to move on here.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, there's a pattern that we've observed. For example, hip-hop slang, I'm not sure I remember an exact example, but I remember a colleague telling me he could follow some of that terminology from the print magazines is back in the 90s, that like Rap Pages or Quincy Jones's magazine or, you know, music magazines. 5 years later, those terms would show up in sports magazines used by professional athletes. And then 5 years after that, that terminology would then show up in the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. In other words, there is an arc toward the general. So we're not looking for example, the jargon of any one particular field. You and I are professionals in different fields. We probably have jargon that we use in the studio or in the office that will never mean anything to anybody. It's when those things become not inside but outside, when they become general, that's when they go in the dictionary.
All right. That is Peter Sokolowski, editor-at-large at Merriam-Webster. Peter, nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Great to be with you.